much about.
Will this thing work for the inner thighs?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I am not fat enough to eject off of a Southwest airline flight simply for size. Not yet, mother.
I'd hate to see the extra baggage fees on that.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing as we observe 1 minute silence in memory of Georgian Olympic athlete Nordar Gumertashvili.
Bogus! Bad, bad form, man. And now...
Kevin, goddammit.
Our feature presentation.
We were talking about that off the air, about the 1 minute of silence they had at the Olympic opening ceremonies for the Georgian luger. And we were saying how unbelievable it is that you could get 60,000 people in one place to all maintain the moment of silence. There's not one a-hole in the crowd. Maybe not one of the athletes because now you're, you know, the whole world looks down on you. But some, you know, media person or some friend of a friend or some parent or something like that. How is there not somebody in that crowd going, yeah!
You're so disappointed.
Well, I'm not. I'm impressed. I'm the opposite of disappointed. But can you think of a U.S. crowd that would sit still for one full minute?
No. I think when it comes to death, even U.S. crowds, even at a football or hockey game, might cut someone some stuff.
Well, and these are people who are at the opening
right.
of the Olympic Games.
That's
which
what she said, right?
That takes some dedication because that's a long night, right? So you really want to be there.
And it's crap. So you have to be devoted.
You got to be into it. And you paid a lot of money, probably.
I don't know.
It's a slightly different crowd, I'm guessing.
I can think of one time, and I go to a lot of events. My family's been season ticket holders for Dodgers and Lakers since before I was born. I can think of one time when there was a long, prolonged silence and people actually showed respect and kept their mouth shut, and it was when Chick Hearn passed away.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a ceremony before a Laker game after that happened. And people
he was
the
longtime announcer for the Lakers, for folks who don't recognize the name or remember Mr. Hearn. But, yeah, I guess it would have to be something, you know, something like that or 9/11 related or something really emotional to weed out all the a-holes because usually there's at least one person in every crowd who just wants to hear himself talk.
Right.
And you said it was a minute, Bean?
A minute.
Yeah. That's pretty
That was the part that shocked me. It wasn't a moment. I would have expected quiet for a moment. After a minute, though, there's always some yahoo 20 seconds in, 30 seconds in, now 40 seconds who has to be going, oh, how funny would it be if...
Another thing is, I don't think there was a lot of people boozing at the Olympics opening ceremony.
That makes a difference,
it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point. By the way, you can call right now. We have a couple of lines open if you want to get on the air for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. It is the Wednesday edition. Get on the air, get a prize. One more Olympic note, and I don't say this because this is a hilarious stand-up topic that everybody does, but I'm serious because I saw some of the curling yesterday. How is that in the Olympics? I'm not making a joke here. I'm absolutely serious. How is curling in the Olympics? One of the athletes this year, she's on the Canadian team, is 5.5 months pregnant. I mean, right there, doesn't
really?
That just tell you, hey, you know what? Not a sport.
Wow.
I've curled.
Yeah. Yes? You went out and did it. That's right.
It sucks, and it's not hard.
Does it take skill?
Well, I mean, I guess it does. Just like darts take skill, though.
I mean,
it's something that anyone of any kind of physical acumen can accomplish.
Guitar Hero takes skill. If you think about it, I mean,
darts and Guitar Hero aren't Olympic sports, though. It's just crazy. And here's the thing that I found out yesterday: they only put it. I guess it was in the Winter Olympics, like way, way, way back, and then it was gone for decades. They put it back into the Winter Olympics just in the 90s. Modern man made the decision, hey, you know what? Curling, not in the Olympics, ought to be.
The demand was there.
It's crazy, right?
And they've eliminated other things from the Olympics over the years recently,
like
too.
Like baseball?
Yeah.
Like baseball?
Some pretty decent stuff.
Well, wow. For folks who don't know what curling is, it's shuffleboard on ice is basically what it is. I mean, it's you stand there and push a rock to a target. I mean,
and then you like sweep the ice.
Yep.
Don't tell me producer Alex is in here to defend curling.
I don't know why she's here.
Get me started on curling. Do you know on the Canadian team there's a woman almost 6 months pregnant?
Yeah, Bean mentioned it.
He just said that.
Oh, sorry. I was watching the studio. I'm so pissed. It's so retarded.
It's not a sport, though, right?
Not a sport. If I can drink while doing it, if I can crack open a tall boy and go, woo, close my eyes and throw something down, no. Not a sport.
Look, I understand that there are people who argue that figure skating isn't a sport, and I get that argument. However, I will tell you, you need phenomenal athleticism and discipline and training, in order to be able to do figure skating. I honestly feel like those of us in this room could put together a pretty good curling team in a weekend.
Listen.
We know someone on a curling team.
I went to curl with Casey, the dump button girl here, and within like two tries, I was already getting right there in the little circle. Yeah. And they're like, you don't understand, this is very difficult. I was like, no, it's not. Watch me do it right now. They put out a rug and stuff for you so you don't even slip on the ice. You don't have to throw skates on, balance yourself or anything. They have like a nice little walkway for you, a little rug for you to push off of.
I want to curl. Yeah.
No, you don't. It's weak. It's way weak sauce.
If you don't have to buy special equipment, if I can wear my daily Pumas and walk out on the ice and compete, no, it's not happening.
Well, they do have, obviously, they do have, you know, specifications for the rock, and there's also the little pole or whatever they call it that you push the rock with, and there's special curling pants, and there's a special curling broom. I mean, there are accessories, but there's accessories for everything, you know? I was reminded again, seeing some of the curling, that it's shocking to me that that's somehow in the Olympics.
That's something a drunk person in Minnesota came up with because it's so freaking cold and there's nothing else to do. And I get that. Enjoy your activities when it's freezing and you don't have sunshine. I understand that. But don't make it an Olympic sport.
It actually was created in Scotland in the 1500s is the earliest reference they have. So not only is it lame, but they've been playing it for over 500 years. How has the tradition of curling not died out?
Because it's a fun drinking game, not an Olympic sport.
Anyway, USA, USA. That's all I have to say to that. All right, 1-800-520-1067. How about some calls? Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, The Big Lebowski is one of the all-time great movies, and you can get a pair of passes to the Lebowski Fest, including access to the movie party at the Wiltern April 2nd and the bowling party at the Cow Bowl April 3rd. Why isn't bowling an Olympic sport while we're on the subject of curling can be? Bowling's harder than curling, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we start with our man Vince? He's got a hockey comment for us while we're on the ice. Hey, Vince, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What's going on?
Hey, how about that hockey game where that guy proposed to her on the big screen and she decided to get up and walk out on him?
I saw that. It was at a Rangers game on Valentine's Day, right?
Oh. Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine? Could you imagine that guy's heart?
He put it up on the big screen. You know, so-and-so wants so-and-so to marry him, and they put the camera on them. Obviously, he had set it up ahead of time so they knew where he was sitting and whatnot. And you can see her just looking at him. Not happy. Just looking at him, like, kind of ticked.
The DNN is telling me that that was a hoax and that people in the Rangers organization hired those people. They're actors, and it was just entertainment purpose.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's certainly possible, but it also is the type of thing that could have happened, too, because she just got up and walked out and said something about needing more time.
You know? Yep.
So.
Exactly. That's hilarious.
Good times. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try James. He's on line 7. He's got an Olympic note for us. Hey, James, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Okay, so talking about Olympic sports, how about speed walking, Summer Olympics? Yeah, my grandma can do it. I don't know about that, man.
Speed walking.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
To go as fast as those people do?
Sure. I mean, look, it's somewhat impressive, but it shouldn't be an Olympic sport.
I don't know if I agree with that.
But listen.
My grandma can win a gold medal. I mean, come on.
It's human
beings. Your grandma can walk. She can't speed
James,
walk.
James, your grandma can't win. But it's human beings moving at half of their ambulatory efficiency. There's nothing impressive about that. When someone can just run right by you. That should not be a sport. That's a race of people who are admitting at the beginning of the race, okay, we are all saying we can't go as fast as we can. Let's just go half as fast as we all can go,
really,
and I'll meet you
hard
at the finish line. No, it's not.
Yes,
it's hard
it
for
is
you. It's not hard for normal people. It's not hard. Soccer moms walk all day. They get out and they get
don't
they
speed walk.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
They speed walk to Starbucks and they get their coffee and then they walk home and they feel like they've exercised.
They're gold medal winners.
James is exactly right. This is stupid. It should not be a sport.
Hey, old people show up at the mall, you know, when it opens at 9 and walk around the mall.
Well,
that's
we're not
their
talking
exercise
about walking. People jog all
listen
the time.
Speed
they
walking,
can't win races at the Olympics.
Speed walking is what real athletes do when they're injured to rehab an injury.
That's a good point. That's an
it's not
point
a sport.
All right. Speed walkers, call now. Defend
thank you for the call,
sport
James. Let's try Frank. He's got some interesting news about California politics. Now, California, folks, remember, has Arnold Schwarzenegger as the governor. So how do you follow that up? Wait till you hear the answer. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show. What it do?
Hey, guys. What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband, he's a prince of some sort or some kind of socialite. He's running for governor of California on the platform of legalization of marijuana and, wait for it, prostitution, baby.
Well, I
he's
can't
Austrian.
I can't vote in California, of course, but if I could, he would have my vote because he not only is taking care of the sex and the drugs, but he's hilarious.
He's crazy.
Is he crazy?
Yes.
I don't know much about him. I just heard it on one of the Newswire reports, and I figured I had to let you guys know.
I think he's certifiable.
Now, what's the deal with him, Lisa? I know that he's become a little bit of a tabloid figure. They call him Prince A-hole, although I think his name is like R-hole or something like that. But what's his deal?
I'm trying to remember the story from like a year ago where someone claimed that he kidnapped them or he claimed that he was kidnapped.
If I remember correctly, he was handcuffed to his own car, naked. And when the police and authorities showed up, and media showed up before the police, and his story was that he was kidnapped and left that way.
Yeah.
And then he had to finally end up admitting that he did it all himself.
He's crazy.
Hey, I got a question. Is it too much to vote for? See, I voted for Schwarzenegger for the laugh factor.
Right.
Yes, that's fine.
Is California? It's not fine when the state that California's in now. Do we vote this guy in for a laugh factor?
Yes, we do.
Think?
Look,
all right, I'm in.
Nobody's going to be able to fix it, so you might as well laugh along the way. That's how I look at it. I say absolutely, this guy's our candidate. Yeah, and get a hooker. Exactly.
Get
a hooker
and
some
and
weed.
Laugh.
Because you don't care what's going on in Sacramento with the budget if you've got a hooker and some weed. So there you go.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Excellent call, Frank. Thank you very much. I think we'll leave it there. Good calls. Try again tomorrow if we didn't get to your call. Let me tell you about today's Kevin and Bean show. First of all, I got so much response yesterday from the discussion that we had about actor-director Kevin Smith getting kicked off the Southwest Airlines flight. And I'm telling you, no joke, you guys, 90% of the email was on Southwest's side.
Really?
90% was like, you're fat, it's your problem, nobody wants to sit next to you, Southwest did the same thing, I wish they did it more. I mean, I was really, really surprised by that, especially since everyone I know loves Kevin Smith. You think, hate on other fat people. Don't hate on Kev, right?
Well, I mean, the fact that he could fit in the seat, he didn't need
a
seatbelt extender, and he could put the armrest down, to me means not too fat. It would be uncomfortable to sit next to him, but I think he should be able to do
it. And someone I was having that conversation with said, girls can fit into the muffin top jeans, too. It doesn't mean they should. Technically, they fit into those jeans, but they spill over onto stuff. And that's what the problem was with whoever sitting next to Kevin Smith. But I agree with you, Lisa. I was just surprised to see how much reaction there was in the other direction.
Yeah.
So we're going to take some calls on that and talk about that today. Also, John Brinkus is the name. You don't know him, but maybe you've seen him on his very popular ESPN show called Sports Science. He's going to come in today. All I know is they did an episode recently to see how much a guy could withstand getting kicked in the nuts. And that's the kind of show I'd like to support. So we'll talk about that. The big Kim Jong-il birthday celebration rolls on today into day two. He, of course, is our favorite crazy world leader. Yesterday late in the show, we got a chance to talk to the screenwriter, now Oscar-nominated screenwriter, of one of our favorite movies of 2009 called The Hurt Locker. If you missed that, we got highlights of that coming up in about a half an hour. We've got a friend of a guy that Ralph turned us on to, who does a one-man show where he recreates the film Superman 2. Now, first of all, super timely. I got to give him credit for that. And second of all, I need to see me a piece of that. That's all there is to it.
I saw a show like that for Star Wars, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Now, this had a bunch of actors running in and out constantly, but I think these shows are really fun.
I am very much looking forward to that. And a bunch more stuff that will unfold as we go throughout the day. In fact, we'll take a quick break, come right back with Ralph's first look at the Showbiz Beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. And that's how that one goes. 106.7 KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52. That song is going to sound great the next time we do Kevin and Bean Whistle the Hits, by the way. It's just perfect. It's made for whistling, isn't it? Don't
that's
you guys think?
Not going to happen.
Really? We're not bringing it up?
No, I just got a mandate from corporate.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, just kidding.
It's been banned.
No whistling.
Foo Fighters, Incubus, and the latest from Paramore straight ahead. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday. Hey, Ralph.
How's the show going so far?
Good.
Fine, I think.
Okay.
Fine.
Yeah. You have problems with it?
No. I had to turn it off when I heard Lisa say that speed walking was hard.
Yeah. Thank you.
I had to change the channel.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it. That's I will hard. Come over there.
Ralphie, she may have
speed
changed channel too quick.
Speed walking is hard.
Right. I yelled at her. Yeah, it's not hard.
You. I appreciate that, Psycho Mike.
It's hard for a,
it's hard
a maybe
if
it's
you
hard.
Go really fast.
It's hard for a non-Olympian. Okay,
it's hard
but
for Jerry's kids. That's hard.
Like, I guess to sustain 5 miles per hour, which is like the fastest a human can walk. And by the way, they have judges to make sure that you're not running.
Yeah.
You start running. Oh, you're disqualified.
Oh, no, don't want that.
I might be somewhat hard for an injured or old person. Not all that hard.
I would like to see, not you, Mike, because you probably do it. Any of you other people actually...
Speed walk.
I got...
And do it at a decent pace.
I got
for 100 a length of time.
Credits that says Ralph Garman could sustain 5 miles per hour for at least an hour.
No way.
Just...
No way.
What do you mean, no way? What?
No way.
It's just heel toe.
No way.
Oh, Lisa. Oh, God. The streak continues. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Maybe you're familiar with this Facebook page that is demanding that Betty White be a host of Saturday Night Live.
I've seen that, yeah.
Familiar with it or signed it many times?
Oh, stop it.
I didn't sign it, but...
No, no one did. Because why do you want to do that to Betty White, first of all? Why do you want to punish her like that by making her be the host of Saturday Night Live?
Because she'll save it, because she'll be the best host in years.
She could be good, but then she's on that show.
Exactly. Well, no one knows where it came from, but finally someone got around to speaking to the 88-year-old actress about it. And she said she has no idea where the idea came from, but if... Saturday Night Live ever called, she would respond and say no. No, she would answer and say she would do it. So there's the hope still lives, Bean, that you'll see Betty White on Saturday Night Live.
Last I heard, there were close to 400,000 people who had signed on that Facebook page to try to get her to do it.
Sean Penn was on Larry King this week talking about his trip to earthquake-ravaged Haiti. And he reminds us all that if you're going to make a contribution to the relief fund, you might want to do it right now because... It dawned on Sean when he was over there that the rainy season in Haiti is set to begin in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you got torrential downpours for citizens who have no shelter whatsoever.
Man.
The island is already a fire hazard and a breeding ground for disease, and the rain will not help. So Sean is set to return this Friday. He's going back yet again to see what he can do to help. I think you spend a little more time making the Three Stooges movie, a little less time worrying about Haiti, Sean Penn.
Priorities.
Sean Penn is Larry.
Come on. Avril Lavigne and Brody Jenner are a new couple. How about that? E! Online reports that they've been hooking up for some time, but they're kind of trying to keep their relationship off the radar. So I apologize, Avril and Brody, but that's a mixture.
That's a smorgasbord of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
How would you guys don't think Avril Lavigne would be a good girlfriend? You don't think she'd be fun?
I don't know. She seems awfully angry a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Something about her I like.
The spitting? You like that? When she spits at the proper
But she grabs her balls? That?
I just remember she was dating, she wanted to date one guy and she said, hey, you, I don't like your girlfriend. Remember when she kept screaming that day?
That was just rude.
That was out of line, I thought.
I agree.
Don't want to break up other people's relationships. Tequila/Tila is back at it again.
Oh, good.
Yeah, remember when she told us all she was pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. She tweeted that she had sharp pains in her stomach.
Here we go.
And she was concerned for the life of her unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
But she was not going to go to the hospital because of the paparazzi.
Right, she'll just have her little miscarriage at home.
And she added that she wanted to die instead. Okay. It's all right with us. Meanwhile...
Damn it, man, is there anything you don't know?
She said that a couple hours later, tweeted that she had been approved to adopt her own baby boy from Russia.
What? I thought she was pregnant. Why did she need to adopt a baby?
Apparently that all ended in the span of an hour in between tweets. I will be his mommy by the end of the year, she continued.
Okay. First of all, isn't it classic behavior when you make up a pregnancy to then also make up a miscarriage? I mean, that's how
yes.
you get out of that lie, right?
Right, yes.
And now, I mean, didn't... Who's going to give her a kid? She's not only a single mom, she's a single mom who's young and crazy.
Yeah. I think the insanity thing has to be a drawback when you're adopting.
Absolutely.
So, but then again, it is Russia.
Yeah.
Pray you get a baby for a loaf of bread over there.
Some standards.
No.
I think.
No. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Renee Russo.
Oh, yeah.
One of my co-stars from Two for the Money.
That's right.
That's right.
Beautiful one. A lovely lady. Can just cuss like a trucker, though, I'll tell you.
That's the best.
She's a good time. She's 56 years old today. Actor Lou Diamond Phillips.
There it is.
Man who's my Psycho Mike has patterned his life after, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
He is 48 years old today. In fact, we call Psycho La Bamba quite often around here. Larry the Cable Guy. One of the world's greatest comedians.
Maybe the world's greatest comedian.
He is 47 years old today, as is NBA legend Michael Jordan. Tim Mahoney of 311 is 40. Actress Denise Richards is 39 years old today. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is 38. Jerry O'Connell, our buddy, who's an actor, and now he's in law school. He's going to be a lawyer. Married, of course, to the lovely Rebecca Romijn. He is 36 years old today. Jason Ritter, son of actor John Ritter from Joan of Arcadia. He is 30 years old. Paris Hilton celebrates her 29th birthday today. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, very talented actor. Most recently, you probably saw him in 500 Days of Summer. He is 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, you got your fanboy hat on today. What's going on?
Well, I got an email from one of our listeners, Christopher Gomez, a while back, and I'll read you a little piece.
Sounds gay. Guy sounds gay to me.
How dare you? Hello, Ralph. Longtime listener to the Kevin and Bean Show. I remember watching Kevin and Bean on Godzilla Theater on KKL 9 when I was in the fifth grade.
Wow. You don't have, yes. you don't have to insult yes. us first thing
this
when you walk in.
This poor bastard sat through Godzilla Theater. He said he is doing a show on February the 28th at 5 p.m. that is a charity event to help the victims of the earthquake in Haiti. It's going to be $5 admission to get in. It's, February the 28th at 5 p.m. at the Maverick Theater in Fullerton, California. Mm-hmm. Well, what caught my attention is it's a live reenactment of the entire feature film Superman 2, The Adventure Continues.
I love that.
A one-man show starring Christopher Gomez. We invited Christopher to come in and talk about it because it's a great cause and because you're insane.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, you know, I've done it before and I'll do it again.
Yeah, you've done this before in 2005, right? You did yes. Superman 2?
That is correct.
And this was for Katrina, right? You raised yes. money for Katrina victims.
Yes.
So you only perform during disasters.
Right.
Like
right.
Superman himself. You go into a phone booth and you come out in the costume and you knock it out.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, yes. Yeah, why Superman 2 of all the... I mean, first of all, it's weird to do a one-man show about a movie. But of all the movies in the world, why Superman 2?
Why not Superman 4, Quest for Peace?
You know, that's...
That's a horrible movie. That's why you're not doing that.
Please
one.
Don't bring that up.
Yeah, why 2? Why Superman 2 instead of 1, for example?
Just, you know, it's random humor. You know, because you know that one for some reason was the most popular of all four of those movies,
right?
Just because,
I guess, reason.
I guess you don't need
just
a reason.
Okay. And what do you do? I know we're going to hear a piece of it, but what do you do on stage? Is it just you, or do you have other actors that you interact with?
Oh no, it's just me. That's
okay.
That's the interesting part to me because I have seen, as I mentioned earlier, I saw the Star Wars. You know,
yeah, I heard about that.
It was awesome, but there were a lot of actors.
Yeah,
running off it on stage. Do you like change costumes really fast or hats or?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, there's a wig here, you know, a pair of glasses there,
right?
And you know, as the first act progresses, you know, the changes are so quick that you know, towards the end of the first act, I kind of have to just rely solely on changing my voice and.
In your face and everything.
Facial expressions. And
so wow, you play Clark Kent, Superman, mm-hmm. Zod,
Lois Lane,
Jimmy Olsen, Perry White.
Non and Ursa.
Isn't it an abridged version of the screenplay, or do you act out the entire film?
The entire thing.
No, you do not.
No, yes. you do not.
Yes. Every line from the feature
Are
film
you kidding?
Is spoken
right,
on stage.
Right down to every nuance, you know, to the little lines said by the extras, you know.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That sounds
Niagara
Falls. Exhausting.
How long
That's
does it
crazier
take you?
Than we thought.
Well, you know, when I did the first show, there was some.
Was 4 hours.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, how long was it?
It was about 2 hours. But, you know, I saw the video of it recently, and, you know, there's still room for improvement to kind of
tighten
things
it up.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Well, you've only done it, what, twice?
Oh, this would be the second time.
This would be the second yeah. time. So you've only done it once before.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a little more practice would help speed things along.
Add a little editing, too. All right. Again, before we hear some of this, Christopher Gomez, Kevin DeBean Lister, Sunday, February 28th at 5, which is a super convenient time for everybody, is going to be at the Maverick Theater in Fullerton, which, by the way, Ralph, you recall, we had the guy on who was doing Santa Claus Conquers the Martians
That's
on stage
right.
there a couple of Christmases ago.
Apparently, this theater is dedicated to doing bad versions of motion pictures.
It is only $5 to see it, and the proceeds, so says Christopher, goes to benefit those in Haiti. I have my suspicions about that.
I believe him. Now, this is the kind of thing you have to buy tickets for, right? You just show up and pay $5 when you go
yeah,
in.
Yeah, just show up, you know, pay $5 to, you know, whoever.
Okay.
And, to whoever. To some whoever. Guy who's just lingering by the door, just hand him a fiver.
Exactly. Well, a guy with the van running. You give $5 to that dude. All right. Is there a particular scene that would be possible for you to do for us, just so you can kind of give our listeners a feel for what the show is like for Superman 2?
Well, you know, I did compile together a short montage of a few scenes.
Nice. Oh,
it's like a trailer.
Yeah, this is the teaser.
Like
the teaser trailer.
Now, I have some Superman music. Would that help you, or would it stand in your way? Would you like the music to go, or would you rather
there
be that?
I think some music would help.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Just to add the
All right.
dramatic,
right? So here's the trailer now for the Superman 2 one-man show. Kevin DeBean Lister, Christopher Gomez.
Is it all right if I stand up for
yes.
just a
moment?
Okay. Of
yeah,
course. Yeah, whatever you need to do to get
in front of the microphone there. Go lift this up.
Now, if Lisa were to take her top off, would that make you feel more comfortable?
I think I'd have to leave the room.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that means.
Where's the restroom at?
Give him super wood.
I almost was insulted.
You know, Lisa May, I have to say that you are far more attractive in person.
Thank you.
Than what? Than you thought?
Than my photos?
Well, you know, you're...
That a rock you saw on the beach?
Don't do you justice.
Thank you. That's very
nice. Nice guy.
You're very sweet.
Yeah,
Mexican
very
Superman.
Actually, I'm not Mexican.
I know. It's funnier if you are, though.
And now, Christopher Gomez with a trailer for the Superman 2 one-man show.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And this is your president speaking. At 3:30 this afternoon, I've consulted with all the leaders of the world, and I hereby abdicate all authority and control of this planet to General Zod.
Superman, can you hear me? Superman, what? Who is this? Superman!
You'll find out, General. And when you do, come to me, Superman! If you dare, I defy you! Come! Come and kneel before Zod!
Clark, this is what the eyes gotta remember when you're crossing the street. It's to always look both ways.
Well, gee, Lois, usually I do, you know.
You know, maybe I ought to get your glasses checked.
Not everyone can have X-ray vision, Lois.
Do I detect a note of jealousy in that voice?
Jealousy? Who, me?
Clark, can I give you a little bit of constructive criticism?
Yes, actually I do.
You gotta be more aggressive. You see something, you want it, you go for it. At least that's what I always do.
So this is how it ends for the greatest criminal mind of our times. Not with a bang, not with a whimper. How do they choose to reward Lex Luthor? The greatest genius of the modern era? Do they give him treasure? Do they give him glory? Or as a matter of fact, do they give him?
Did you see that? Did you see what I did? I have powers beyond reason here.
We all have them, my dear. The closer we are to an atmosphere with only one sun, a yellow sun, the more our molecular density gives us unlimited powers.
They come from a place up there, called Houston.
And we shall go there too, to rule. Finally.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, come on. How about that?
That's awesome. Wow. Well,
yeah. Well, now you got it. Now you got to see how it ends. February
22nd. I bet 22nd. Superman wins.
I bet you're right.
Give it away.
Where for folks who are familiar with the Fullerton area, where is this theater that you're going
to
be performing?
Okay, now it's a little tricky to get there because it's kind of a hole in the wall place. You know, you have downtown Fullerton, you have the old spaghetti factory and the Sly Bar, and they have the train tracks.
This sounds shaky yeah. by the minute.
All right, you get into the caboose.
The theater is right across.
Oh, how unfortunate.
Oh,
So looking forward to that information. All right.
Exactly. 110 East Walnut Avenue in Fullerton, California, if you're interested in going to the Maverick Theater to see Superman 2, the one-man show.
The adventure continues.
February the 28th at 5 p.m. A great way to spend an afternoon with Christopher Gomez as everyone in Superman 2.
Thanks a lot for coming down. Thank you.
We're all part of the same team.
I love that band. That is Paramore on 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:39. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You can't really think about Paramore without thinking about that immortal time that Dave, the King of Mexico, got a chance to interview Megan Fox. Remember?
Bean from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan as Paramore as I am?
one of the all-time great questions. Well done. All right. Southwest Airlines versus director, actor, fat man, Kevin Smith. We want your opinion on that coming up next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, though, ladies and gentlemen, very special guest, completely unexpected. I did not know you were stopping by today, Mr. Mayor, but Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa from the great city of Los Angeles, California.
How you doing, Mayor?
A rare studio appearance from you, Mr. Mayor. What the hell's going on?
Now I turn into an entertainer. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay? I'm like an entertainer now.
How are you? I don't understand, you're a politician.
I come out here to Hollywood, you know, to make it in the movies, in the television. And so I was in your neighborhood, and I said, hey, Tony Villaraigosa, why don't you just go by the studio and say hello to your friends, Kevin Bean and Lisa. How you doing, Lisa?
Okay.
I'm good, Mayor. Thank you.
You're looking good.
Thank you.
I like your chichis. They look good, bouncy,
now,
crisp.
I think you should say things like that.
You're the mayor of Los Angeles. What did you say?
How
has it been working out for you getting into show business? Because although you have a lot of Hollywood supporters, you're basically a government employee. You're not really in the movies.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
don't you have a...
It's been great. I mean, it really raises, my profile. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because the people, they turn on... all my children today, they're going to see my face. You know what I
understand.
What's the name of the show?
It's a soap opera. All my children.
Okay. All my children.
That's what I say.
It's children with a D. Children.
Children.
Children, right. All right. I don't understand. You're the mayor of Los Angeles. Your city is broke. You've got nothing but troubles. How do you have time to appear on the soap opera, Children?
I got to do, unorthodox tactics to get my name out there, raise some money, raise my profile, Oh, God. Do you not shut up?
No, I have a question. How does that
If you have a
money?
Question, you know what? If I wanted you to open your mouth, I'd unzip my pants. Okay?
That's what I have to say. First of all, Lisa is a citizen.
I'm the mayor. Who runs this town?
For the moment.
Listen up. Hey, I was having a conversation with the man of the
room. You were also talking to me.
I know you were talking at me. Yeah. That's really what was happening. Listen here, Pete.
What, Mr. Mayor? What? I'm right here. What? I'm right.
I figure if I get on TV... If I get in the movies,
yes,
I can raise my profile, get my face out there, and help people learn to like me and want to give me more money to help fix this city. Okay?
Fix the what?
This city. The city of Los Angeles. The city of Los Angeles.
I've heard about those kind of bars, right? All right, listen. We don't have much time here, but you're on All My Children playing what? Are you playing the mayor of Los Angeles?
I'm playing a character a little bit outside my range. His name is Tony.
All right. And what's
Villaraigosa. And he's a ladies man. He's a man of great passion. You know what I'm saying? Okay?
Okay.
He's a man of great passion. And I actually brought with me some clips from my performance today. It'll be on All My Children later today. This is the first clip I brought in is me and the great, beautiful, talented Susan Lucci. Okay?
That's big time. Okay, let's hear it.
Hey, Susan Lucci.
Yes, Tony.
Go get me a beer, bitch.
Please do not speak to me in that manner.
Listen, I'm watching the Raider game. Go get me a beer, puta, or there's going to be a problem.
You know, you should not talk to a woman like that.
Listen to me, okay? Go get me a beer, or I'm going to have to explain things to you, okay?
Hey, Tony, that's not how the script goes.
Oh, shut up! It's good!
Yeah! Tony, no!
Yeah, maybe next time you go get me a beer, bitch! Yeah! Okay.
Okay. All right. First of all, you don't call the actress by her name on the show. You call her by her character name.
Maybe they'll fix that in post. Listen, this next scene, I feel like I really grew as an actor. You tell me.
I doubt it, but I'll be willing to listen.
I don't know how to tell you this, but Frank is your brother.
Oh, God. Blah, blah, blah. All day, you bros, you come in here, you're talking. I'm trying to watch the football game, and you blah, blah, blah. This is your brother. I really love you, and you should treat me better. Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? You want some more juice? Like that, huh? Jay, who's do I gotta to get a taco around here?
Okay.
Whoa.
Mr. Mayor, All My Children is not known for its extensive gunfights. Is that something that you improvised, or did they actually want you to shoot?
I was working off the cuff, as they say in the business.
Doesn't seem like that's appropriate
okay,
for their storyline.
Okay, this final scene that I brought in, I've really followed the script closely.
One more. Okay.
And I feel like this is where I really shine, as a thespier. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Tony, please listen to me. I have something I need to say to you. I don't love you anymore. No. I'm in love with Robert. He and I are running away today to go elope.
Oh, Robert.
And you cannot follow
me. Listen to me, okay? Can you just shut your goddamn mouth for 1 second? Hold on.
Antonio?
Oh, it burns. It burns in my brain.
Cameras are rolling.
What were you saying? What?
We were doing a scene.
Oh, hold on 1 sec. Don't move. Okay, scene.
Well, I don't know how that's going to go over, but it's certainly a new direction for All My Children. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
And
Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph is here. Another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Nothing's better than when Oprah Winfrey proves that she's a dumbass. Drew Brees was on her show, and Drew came out, of course, to talk about the big win for the New Orleans Saints, who won the Super Bowl. Did proud by the city of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Oprah acts like she knows a thing or two about the game and or Drew Brees. But it all comes apart when he comes up on the stage and this happens. Here's what
happens. Wow, 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 woo! All right, who just kissed you? There's a big old kiss right there.
No.
Yeah, Oprah.
Wow, it's so wonderful to see you.
Oprah promptly tries to rub his birthmark off his face.
Oh, my God.
Anyone knows anything about Drew Brees or has seen a photo of Drew Brees in the past 10 years knows he's got a big red splotch on his cheek. It's a birthmark, not a lipstick mark. Can't really rub it off, Oprah. Even though she tried, she pretty much jumped on his face and tried to... You got to take a bandsaw and take off his birthmark, and of course that's not possible.
So she's a big fan, long time him then.
Yeah, she apparently knows a lot about Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, or not. Just loved it. Loved it! Fans of Vampire Diaries, congratulations. CW Network has just announced they've picked up Vampire Diaries for another season. CW has also picked up 5 other shows for next season, including America's Next Top Model.
Wow,
thank God Tyra's still got a job. Gossip Girl.
Oh,
I'm so glad that's it's going to be on because I love to watch it in the bunker, wearing fingerless gloves, with the heater at my feet. Supernatural and 90210 also have been renewed. No word yet on Melrose Place. One Tree Hill. Or more importantly, Smallville. We're going to have to wait and see the fate of those shows over there on the C-Dub. But at least
hey,
Dave's
Ralph,
happy.
Forgive my ignorance. What is Supernatural?
Supernatural is about two brothers, Bean, who have to go off to try to save the soul of their father, who apparently has been taken into the underworld, and they do so by battling a various group of demons and villains.
Oh, is it any good?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Very succinct, Ralph.
Thank you. It's a very entertaining show. It's sort of like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer type show, only a little more serious, perhaps. It stars the absolutely dreamy Jared Padalecki.
Oh, he is dreamy.
Yeah. He is that dreamy. Is and Jensen Eccles. Two guys with the worst names on television in one great show.
I asked the right guy about Supernatural.
Oh, you sure did.
You got information at your fingertips.
I love me some Supernatural. Dr. Oz's syndicated talk show, speaking of Oprah, is growing by leaps and bounds. This show is just blowing up, which I find inexplicable because Dr. Oz does for internal medicine what Dr. Phil does for psychology.
Oh, good.
He is a blowhard who gives out effing shaky advice for the most part, but the show has just been expanded to more than 80 countries.
Dude.
Wow.
Sony Pictures Syndication Division announced it's moving into Korea, Hungary, Latin America, the Middle East, New Zealand, Romania, Russia, and Turkey. So Dr. Oz can give bad medical advice all over the world, which is excellent. And believe it or not, those Gallagher brothers just are not getting along. Liam and Noel Gallagher, formerly of Oasis, still at odds. You know how I know is because Liam was at the Brit Awards in London last night, where Oasis's second album, What's the Story, Morning Glory, was named the best British music album of the last 30 years. Quite an award.
Yeah.
Liam got up on stage and accepted the award on behalf of the band and thanked everyone except for Noel.
Well, of course, because what did he have to do with it?
Then he took the award and the microphone and threw them into the audience and walked off the stage.
You're
no
kidding.
Way!
Yeah. So Liam is still up to his old tricks.
Wow.
God bless him.
Pretty rad.
He's a good dude. Today's celebrity birthdays, big list of celebrities, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. From Third Rock from the Sun, of course, and then went on to become a successful independent film actor, including 500 Days of Summer. 50 was the prequel. He's 29. Paris Hilton's also 29. Jerry O'Connell is 36. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is 38. Denise Richards celebrates her 39th birthday today. Tim Mahoney of 311 is 40 years old. Michael Jordan, NBA legend, is 47 years old today. How long has he been retired now? 10 years?
The most recent retirement. It's only been about 5-6 seasons.
Since he played?
Yeah.
It's hard to believe, though, a guy can have his career be over and be celebrating his 47th birthday. Yeah. What do you do with the second half of your life when you're a professional athlete?
Yeah. It is strange. I mean, the expiration date on professional athletes, it's such a weird kind of psychosis.
It's not like Jordan went into broadcasting or something, you know, that keeps him busy. What's this guy doing with the rest of his life other than making Hanes commercials?
Well, he's pushing gambling, I guess. Really hard to buy the Bobcats, I want to say. Yeah, Bobcat.
Anyone buys Bobcats?
Not that Bobcat.
No. Larry the Cable Guy is 47 years old today. Lou Diamond Phillips celebrates his 48th birthday. And Renee Russo, she's pretty good. She's 56 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got something called the Kevin and Bean Afro Line up and running at 323-520-AFRO. You can call us 24 hours a day, leave a message on any topic, and then we play them back on the radio. First caller, I believe, is calling from Omar's house. Tell me what you guys think.
Yeah, I heard Rachel Ray was having to put her dog down. Well, why the hell don't they just put her down? Man, she's fat.
A lot of people, for some reason, Rachel Ray really rubs them the wrong way.
It's that phony cheeriness. It's just, it's cloying.
And fat.
Yeah. And fat, yeah. Psycho Mike has a video up at KevinAmin.com of him attempting to eat the world's largest gummy bear.
Look at the imposing size of that gummy bear.
And people are every day discovering it on the website, and that has prompted a couple of listeners to call up with their opinions of the video.
You, Mike, you can't even eat a goddamn gummy bear. You have to throw up after it. You.
Well, no reversals were allowed, but you got to watch the video to find out what happened. And then this guy.
Yeah, so I just saw the freaking, the damn video of Psycho Mike eating the gummy bear, and all I have to say is, you guys, you do hell, I hate you, Psycho Mike. Psycho Mike, I hope you die, you asshole.
A lot of love, Mike.
You're out there risking your life in the name of science, and this is the reaction you get, Mike. What's that about?
It's jealousy. You can understand. When you're a champion, that's what you get.
Of course, me, Bean, I have my supporters as well.
Everybody needs to stop picking on my man, Bean. I mean, you know, sure, he's gay for Gordon Lightfoot. Sure, he's an interview killer. He leaves jokes out there to die and doesn't take them back, but he could be a hell of a lot worse. He could be a woman. Right, Callie? Shut up.
Yeah! There it is.
Look what you guys are creating.
Oh, what a genius.
What, right-thinking Americans? Is that what we're creating? And actually, Lisa, you'll be very pleased to know, here's another one for you.
You know, after listening all week to Lisa's Valentine's Day commercials, I really just have one thing to say. Go f*** yourself, Lisa. I hate you.
See, I could just picture that poor guy is hoping to skate like under the radar. You don't probably don't skate under the radar.
I don't know what you do under the radar.
He's probably hoping that his girlfriend won't notice or won't expect too much for Valentine's Day. And then they're in the car and they're listening to the show. And there's Lisa on talking about, you're a bad human if you don't call Pro Flowers. Wow, why aren't you getting your lady flowers? Why do you suck so much? And then you put him in the doghouse. That's my guess is that's what happened.
If he sucks, it's not my fault.
Here's in addition to love for Mike, for me, and Lisa, now here's somebody who's calling to support the wonderful Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices that we do.
It's currently 7:24. I'm calling about a minute before your spin the animal wheel, and I'm calling to tell you the skit sucked. That's how certain I am it's going to suck.
Wow. Don't even wait to listen to it yet. Here's a listener calling the Afro line. I think he has a great question.
Yeah, why the History Month got to be black?
Exactly. I've wondered the same thing myself. Here's a gentleman who I think just got back from a date and wanted to make sure there was no misunderstanding about his behavior on it.
Listen. If you thought it was a woman, it means you're not gay. God damn it.
In his defense, if you thought it was a woman.
I got to back him up on that. If you go deep enough into the night thinking it's a woman, you can skate.
Exactly. Another fan of KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean. I just wanted you to know I just masturbated to your singles party pictures. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, I'm so glad we could do that for you.
A lot of pictures and the video, Lightning's Confessional video booth up from the Kevin and Bean singles party from Friday night. You have to check this out. By the way, I heard a shocking statistic yesterday in the meeting. Lisa, you were in there too.
Right.
That 90% of the people who listen to the station have never been to the website, which
is amazing.
So remarkable to me, because if you like the station, you will love the website, because there's so much stuff on there about concerts and music that we play and news, and there's lots of funny stuff and video. And I mean, there's stuff all the time. Every single hour, new stuff is going up on the website. So you definitely ought to check that out. But I'm glad you were able to get that that level of enjoyment out of it, sir. Here's somebody who heard something on the news and was convinced that somehow I was involved.
I just heard on the news that there was a hiker lost in the mountains near Seattle. I wonder if it was Bean. This idiot was in the mountains in the winter. I bet it was Bean. He fell 1,500 foot over a cliff. God, I hope it was Bean.
This dude, they finally got a helicopter in there and took his body out of Mount St. Helens yesterday. But he was up in the mountain with some buddies, and he backed up for a photo and fell off the cliff.
Oh, no.
How about that?
How hard were his friends laughing until they realized how far he fell?
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. Well, this one, I think I should be offended, I guess.
Yeah, is this the Afro line? Or the porn Afro line?
Okay. Friend of Elizabeth Banks apparently calling, talking about my Twitter mishap. And finally, the Winter Olympics are on, and that means for many of us, it's time to watch Bob Costas on the TV before. And this guy has a question for us.
So the Winter Olympics are on, which means only one thing, Bob Costas. Hey, Kevin and Bean, what's your opinion of Bob?
All right, here's the thing about Bob. I'm a big fan of his. He's a very smart broadcaster, very articulate, extremely knowledgeable. Whether you see him doing the World Series or the Olympics or whatever sport he's covering, he's pretty much dialed in. But for some reason, there are people who think that he is a dick. And I don't know if you guys have ever gotten this impression before. I don't know if it's just he appears too smart for the room, or they don't like the way he talks to other people. But there's something about Bob Costas that rubs people the wrong way. And that led Omar to create this song last week.
Bob's a dick, dick, dick. Bob's a dick, dick, dick. He's a dick, dick, dick. Bob's a giant dick. What a dick, dick, dick. Bob's a dick, dick, dick. Bob's a dick, dick, dick. What a giant big dick. Such a dick.
You don't like Bob Costas. Dick, we understand.
What a dick, dick.
All right.
Dick.
Thank you, Omar.
All right, big finish. Big finish. Hold on.
Dick, 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 dick.
Okay. Bob's yeah. Yeah.
Dick, dick.
Not sure how he feels about Bob, but thanks for calling the Afro Line today on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I got to tell you, I usually think I have, I knew you guys were going to laugh at this, but I usually think I have the pulse of the Kevin and Bean listeners and what they think about a lot of stuff. But mm-hmm. I was really shocked by the reaction that I got from the emails yesterday when we were talking about the Kevin Smith story. Now, Kevin, in full, you know, the interest of full disclosure, we consider a friend of ours, and we're very supportive of him, like his work very much. Terrific director, actor, writer. He had an incident over the weekend where he was bumped, if you haven't heard. He was bumped off a Southwest Airlines flight. He was already sitting down in his seat, and the stewardess, flight attendant, came up to him and said, "You're going to have to leave. It's a security issue." Well, what they didn't want to tell him is they thought he was too fat to fly, even right. though he could sit in the seat. He went on Sunday night and did a podcast with his wife where he described where he's at on the story, and then wait till you hear what the reaction was from the Kevin and Bean listeners.
I am fat, and that's how I conduct myself in this life. I'm okay. I found a woman who f***ed me. I got me a chubby chaser. And if I die early because I'm fat, that's my own fault, my choice. But I am not fat enough to eject off of a Southwest airline flight
right.
simply for size. Not yet, motherfucker.
All right, so we talked about that a little bit and played some comments from Kevin's podcast, and then the emails started flying in. And let me read a couple of them real quick, and then we're going to get to your telephone calls on this issue. If you have personal experience, either as being the fat person on the plane or the person sitting next to the fat person, or if you just want to make a comment about the topic in general, we want to hear from you, 1-800-520-1067. Walter writes in, "Wow, I'm not sure how fat Kevin Smith is, but whatever happened to no shoes, no shirt, no service? It's not his airline to make the guidelines. If he doesn't like it, don't fly or buy your own plane. I've sat next to a fat person on a plane flying coach, and it's not good at all. It does infringe on my personal space. Let me tell you, I was extremely uncomfortable as I was being crushed on that flight. I think the logical solution for airlines is to specify a weight limit per seat so there's no misunderstandings. If you're over the limit, you have to buy two seats. If a scale is needed before boarding, so be it. If you're close to the limit and too cheap to buy a second seat, then fast for a few days and then come back to the airport." By the way, I don't think a weight limit would work because not everybody carries their weight the same way. You can be 200 pounds and be obese. You can be 200 pounds and be thin, depending on the rest of your body type, right?
And in Kevin's defense, he flies Southwest all the time. They never did this before.
That's right. That's absolutely right, yeah. Here's another email. This one's from John. "Maybe somebody's been photoshopping the photos of Kevin Smith, but if what I'm seeing online today is accurate, yeah, he needs to buy two seats now. He needs to wake up and smell the diet soda. It's time to go on Celebrity Biggest Loser. If he attempted to sit down next to you on an airplane, you'd complain to the stewardess too. Wow." I mean, it's one right after another. "Dear Bean," this is from Henrik, "let's not forget he ordered two seats for his fat ass on his original flight, which he missed. He then purchased a single seat for the flight in question, and somehow it's all the airline's fault that he doesn't fit. He should take responsibility for his fatness and stop being such a crybaby. Thanks for your time." So that's a generally representative sample of the emails that I received on this topic yesterday. Yet when we talked about it yesterday and in conversations that I've had with people off the air, it seems to me that the barometer ought to be if you can fit into the seat and put the armrest down and put the seatbelt on, I think by definition, you're not too fat to fly.
Yeah, they have to set the limit somewhere, and that's it, if you can fit into your seat. So to me, it shouldn't have been kicked off.
And I understand that there are going to be some people who, even though they can fit between the seat rest, that they spill over a little bit.
And it's going to be uncomfortable.
Just like there are people who are gangly, who have elbows that go over. You know, just like there's
well, you're
a lot
6'6", Bean. I mean, sitting next to you might not be that comfortable either.
Hey, yeah, it's not, I don't envy the person that I sit down next to for any number of reasons, but that's one of them.
Bean's thin. Here's my thing. What about the offensive lineman? Who's not fat.
Right.
But he's 6'6", 360.
Right.
And he's got shoulders that are 4 feet apart. He's just as, he destroys your ride on an airplane.
Over
I sucked it in and boom, I buckled in. Not one person complained. The flight attendants came by and they just stared at me. They didn't even say anything to me. And I flew Southwest.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think this is what Ralph's point was yesterday, is that it just seems to be such a subjective policy. What do you think about the idea that the first emailer wrote in that I read on the air that said there ought to be a weight limit, and if you're above a certain weight, or there ought to be a scale, or there ought to be some other way
that you know
before you get on the plane whether it's okay or not?
Get a chair, set up some sort of a chair that they can go into a room and sit in at the airport and see if they can fit or not before they ever get on the plane.
Vince, you've never had any trouble in all the times you've flown? You've never been asked to leave a plane?
No, sir. And I've been everywhere. I've been the most up to 400 pounds. I'm proud of it. And not one flight has told me to get off.
That's because they're afraid you'll pummel them. I think it could be fear. It could be fear operating, Vince, here. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. We'll take a quick break and come back with your calls on this topic, too. 1-800-520-1067. We'll return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I'm telling you, people are scorching these phone lines and the email talking about Kevin Smith versus Southwest. So far, it looks like it's about 90-10 in favor of the airline. Is it crazy?
Well, here's the funny thing. All the emails are against him, and yet those are the phone calls we're getting.
Listen to Christian. Just because a person can shoehorn themselves, by the way, again, if you're just joining us, talking about Kevin Smith getting asked to leave the Southwest Airlines flight because somebody in the organization thought that he was too fat to fly, even though he could sit with the armrests down. And that's what the topic we're discussing. We'll get back to your calls in 1 minute. Just because a person can shoehorn themselves into a seat by forcing the arms down does not mean that their fat asses aren't overflowing over those armrests. These are the same people who wear a size 32 pair of pants with their entirety of their belly hanging out. The armrests sit pretty low and don't take into account fat arms or mammoth shoulders. Armrests are not the barometer we should be using. If airlines choose to conduct their business this way, so be it. Buy two seats, fatties of the world, is what Christian says. All right, let's get back to your calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk to Wendy. She is a former flight attendant. She may have some insight onto this story that we haven't heard yet. Hi, Wendy. Thanks a lot for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
Just an experience I had while I was a flight attendant. I had a guy that was so ginormous on one of my flights. They gave him the aisle seat. Of course, it was like an overbooked flight. And he could not fit in the seat. We actually had to put the armrest up. And one of his butt cheeks hung out into the aisle, which I think is dangerous. But, you know, it's up to the gate agents to kick these fat people off. But, yeah, he had to get up and stand in the back galley so that we could get the bar cart through the aisle. That is how much he hung over his seat.
Wow.
That just makes me sad.
We have a picture, and I don't know if it's a real photograph of a real passenger on a real plane or if it's some sort of Photoshop thing or some setup photo, but please go to kevinandbean.com and look at the biggest guy you've ever seen on an airplane. That picture is up there now.
It's about what Wendy's describing.
Yeah. So,
I think I took a picture of it, but God knows where it's at, somewhere
on our website.
One of my files. If I can find it, I will email it to you guys. It's ridiculous.
So, Wendy, what did they tell you as an employee of the airline? Did they say to you, I mean, obviously safety is your number one priority as a flight attendant. Did they say to you, if you think that this person is going to be troubling in the event of an emergency or is going to impede other passengers getting out of the plane, don't let them fly? I mean, what kind of guidelines did they give you?
Well, there really isn't any guidelines like that. I mean, of course, somebody of that size, everybody's going to complain and be very uncomfortable, especially the people sitting next to him. Yeah. I don't remember particularly on that flight if we complained to the gate agent or not, but me personally, I think it's so unsafe because he was next to one of the window exits on top of that, and there's no way, you know what I mean?
All he's
going to do is like block the flow of traffic if there was an emergency. There was no way he was going to get out of a window.
Gotcha. All right. I'm so glad you called. Thank you, Wendy. We appreciate it. Let's go to line seven now. The name is IGI. I won't pretend to know how to pronounce that. Hey, IGI. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Iggy?
Good morning. Yeah, it's Iggy.
Hi.
Is it really IGI or is it really IGGY is what it should be?
I've spelled it IGI since I was young. I don't know.
All right. So you're part of the problem. All right. What's your comment on Kevin Smith versus Southwest, please?
You know, I don't have a problem with it. I flew a couple months ago to New York in a really small plane. It was a connecting flight for the last 2 hours. It was like a 46-foot plane, only two seats per aisle. And I sat window next to
a gnarly big fat guy. He asked, he's like, oh, do you mind if I don't put the armrest down between us? And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm not the type to complain, so I didn't say anything. But he even needed an extra seatbelt to go across his stomach.
That extender, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Smith said he didn't need that.
Yet.
Yeah.
So how uncomfortable were you having this guy essentially share your seat? I mean, the airline seats are pretty small to begin with, and this guy was clearly taking some of yours, right?
Yeah, I was very uncomfortable. He, you know, had his arm down, and it was, like, touching me the whole time. So I stayed as close as I could to the window. Didn't get up to go to use the restroom at all. I mean, it was a two-hour flight, but still, I needed to go, but I didn't want this guy to have to get up and bother everyone around.
Let me ask you this question, then, before we let you go, and that is, what do you think the airline should have done with that passenger?
Maybe had him, like, because there was empty seats in the back, and in the back there was the very last row had three seats. He could have at least, you know, scooted back there and had the person.
Why didn't you go back there then if those seats were open?
Like I said, I'm not the type to complain about things, so I just, you know, took it.
Okay, thanks for the call. The difference was in the Kevin Smith flight that he described from the weekend is that it was completely sold. There wasn't another seat available for anybody. All right, let's try to squeeze in a couple more. Let's try Eileen, who I think is one of the fat people that we're discussing. Eileen is on line 4 and is on the air on the Kevin Amin Show. Hi, Eileen. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
What's going on?
I have, the majority of my family is big, and they're not, like, super, super big, but some of them, you know, they're pretty wide. And we've flown a lot of times, and there's never really a problem. And I don't understand how people are always blaming fat people. Like, why would I'd rather sit next to a fat person than sit next to someone who stinks, like, BO the whole flight over there.
I have done that, and it is not good.
So why should we have to be forced kick fat people off the plane? Why can't we kick stinky people off the plane?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. Obviously, there are lots of things that other passengers on a plane do that people complain about, but I think fat comes into it from the airline's perspective because of the safety aspect. The stinky person isn't going to be a problem in the event of a water landing, for instance. I think that's right. Where the airline is worried about. Look, let's face it. The airline doesn't care about passenger comfort. They wouldn't have seats that are 12 inches across if they cared whether you're comfortable or not on the plane. They're just worried about it in the event of an actual emergency. So I think that, to answer your question, I think that's why the fat people are a problem. Have any of you or your family members ever been asked to get off a plane because you're too fat?
Never.
Okay. All right. Keep eating, then. You're doing great. Thanks for the call. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey,
106.7 K-Rock. It is KROQ at 7:56. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, the host of Sports Science, a guy who's been hurt more doing his television show than almost anyone else on TV. John Brinkus joins us coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph is in here with another look at the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. Hey, Ralph, you did the podcast last night?
I'm sorry, what happened?
You did the Adam Carolla podcast? Was that last night?
Tonight.
Oh, it's tonight.
Tonight at the Irvine Improv. Yeah, I don't want to miss it. Check it out. I don't know if there's some tickets left. It may be sold out.
Okay.
But there may be some tickets left for the 10 o'clock show. Go to adamcarolla.com to find out for sure.
Sorry to bring it up if it is sold out, but I've been listening to some of those on the podcast, and they're very, very funny, and they seem like they'd be a lot of fun to be there in person, too. So I know you enjoy doing those as well. All right, John Brick is coming up next. Right now, the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, if you're done calling my friend Kevin Smith fat, I'd like to give away some tickets to his movie. If you're done trashing him in the public.
I think we're good.
You done now? Okay, good. I've got passes to give away to his movie, Cop Out. We're having a special K-Rock advance screening of Cop Out at the AMC Century City in February the 26th. That is a Thursday, I want to say. I think it is. Yes. No. The screen's on the 23rd. The movie opens everywhere in theaters on Friday the 26th. So there you go. That's your information. If you'd like to go, first five callers, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you'd like to go, call now. First five callers to get through, get a pair of passes to go see Cop Out, starring the very popular Kevin Smith, despite what you people are saying.
We love him.
Speaking of big fatties, The Biggest Loser is casting. Would you like to be on The Biggest Loser?
Yeah.
I want to see Mike on The Biggest Loser.
Sadly, Mike, you have to have at least 100 pounds to lose.
Mm. Oh, so I can do it.
Yeah. You have to have an outgoing personality. You have to want, desire, and have the competitive edge to vie for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, it says here.
Yeah, if you'd like to be on The Biggest Loser and, you know, publicly humiliate yourself by having some scrawny, beef jerky-looking broad scream at you while you lift a medicine ball.
Yeah, I'm starting to hate
this
her.
This is the show for you. That Jillian Michaels?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's very hateable.
Hit her with a snow shovel right in the back of the head.
And she's so earnest about everything.
I like the dude, though. The gay dude. The other trainer dude.
He's great.
He seems like a decent person. Seems like he really cares about the people he works out.
Yeah, it's true.
He cries a lot.
He does.
For them. Which I find is good. Mike doesn't do that. Mike makes you cry when he's training you.
And
then laughs
up
at you. And then you burst your pancreas. And he laughs as you crawl to the hospital.
Right.
Yeah. What did that dude burst when you were working him out? What was the organ
he had kidney
lost?
Failure.
Lost his kidneys.
Yeah.
You are not good.
God.
It's not my fault.
If you're an individual or even teams of two, or if you're an individual that looks like a team of two, go to thebiggestlosercasting.com. Thebiggestlosercasting.com. All one word, .com, and they will give you information how you can audition in person, or even better yet, send a video. Send a video, really, because there's not enough room for you at the audition, I'm guessing. Avatar fans, more Avatar in the works for you. Now, you may have to wait a couple years before we get the sequel to the very popular film. However, James Cameron has decided to write an Avatar novel.
Okay.
This won't be just a novelization of the film. This will be a book that James promises will fill in some of the gaps and questions the film may have left open in regards to Dr. Augustine's school from the Na'vi, what Jake's life was like back on Earth before his brother Tommy was killed, and other questions that were raised in the movie. So you may want to check it out. Late 2010, apparently, is the delivery date for the novel, so you'll get it sometime this year if you just can't get enough Avatar.
Okay, will the book be in 3D is my first question. And my second question is, are there enough people who care about this story, not just the special effects of Avatar, to want to fill in those blanks?
That's a good question.
People have been saying that the story is the weakest part of the film.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
But it also has a huge fan base of people who want to crawl inside the Na'vi. And I mean that in the most perverse way I can think of it. And live on the planet of Pandora. So those people, I'm sure, will suck up anything that's got Avatar splashed on it.
Yeah, maybe so.
And speaking of merchandising, the Beatles did it. Gave them a boost in the coffers. Now Jimi Hendrix, apparently, will have his own edition of Rock Band.
That makes sense.
Guitarist's late stepsister, Janie, who runs the Experience Hendrix Estate, has revealed that the video game will be available before the end of the year. So if you're a Hendrix fan, or perhaps you're not familiar with the music of the legendary Jimi Hendrix, you may want to pick up the Rock Band, because the dude could play guitar.
Yes.
Say what you want.
But he could play guitar. I was wondering, Psycho Mike, are there still kids growing up today falling in love with Jimi Hendrix guitar player and trying to emulate it?
No, probably not. But
I think his popularity has waned significantly over the past 10 years.
But with these games like Rock Band and Guitar Hero, that will increase his popularity with younger generations. That's a great thing. I mean, it was crazy. I was playing Rock Band with my nieces and nephews the other day, and they're all under 10. And they're singing word for word Cheap Trick Surrender.
Yeah.
And I loved it because, like I said, I mean, it gives them an appreciation for music that they probably would have never heard.
Rock Band certainly introduced the Beatles to a whole new generation of kids who weren't familiar with their music. Because let's face it, most kids aren't listening to classic rock radio or wherever else you would hear a Jimi Hendrix song. And it's a shame because there's some great stuff that he's done.
Yeah.
And this will be a way for them to get experience with it. No pun intended. The Jimi Hendrix experience.
And more so than any other artist, I think he might motivate people playing Rock Band to actually go up and try and pick up a real guitar.
Yeah.
Because it was playing.
And it would get people to emulate Noel Redding's hairdo, which I always thought was very impressive.
He had the
Caucasian afro.
Original Caucasian afro, yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He is 29 years old today. Jerry O'Connell's 36. Paris Hilton's 29. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is 38 years old. Denise Richards celebrates her 39th birthday. Tim Mahoney of 311 is 40 years old. Legendary Michael Jordan celebrates his 47th birthday. Equally legendary Larry the Cable Guy celebrates his 47th birthday. Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah.
La 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 Bamba.
Mm-hmm.
He is 48 years old.
Let's not forget his work in Young Guns.
Let's not forget his work on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
That's right.
When he was in the jungle with Spencer.
I did forget that work.
That poor bastard. And actress Renee Russo celebrates her 56th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited to have our next guest in the studio. I don't believe we've ever had anyone on from ESPN Sports Science, but it's an awesome show. John Brinkus joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John, how are you, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Great to see you. We've all kind of seen the show flipping around on the ESPN, but I think a few weeks ago we for some reason came across the video of getting, I think it was you getting kicked in the nuts, and we thought this is
A, this is our kind of show. B, this is our kind of guy. C, tell me more. What does that have to do with sports science?
Well, you know, actually, the clip you probably saw is when I took a 90-mile-an-hour fastball wearing a cup. What we wanted to do was really test out the science of – there's a product called the Nutty Buddy. And in every single baseball game, catchers get hit in the nuts. And we said, well, how much force is it? Is it, you know, is it possible for a human being to stand there and just take a 90-mile fastball straight to the crotch? What we did is we're lining up the stunt, basically. I'm standing there. We're calibrating the machine. I wasn't worried about getting hit in the nuts. I was worried about not getting hit in the nuts.
Right.
I
mean, where you had no protection.
Exactly. I mean, I'm like wearing a cup that's designed by NASA. You know, that's going – I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be okay. But we're lining it up, like calibrating with plexiglass and a pitching machine and a couple of PAs, you know, dropping a ball. So I'm pretty nervous in terms of if it hits my bladder, if it hits my leg.
Of course.
And like a 90-mile-an-hour fastball is fast enough to almost stop a Mini Cooper going 10 miles an hour. It's the same amount of force.
Are you serious?
I mean, it's an amazing amount of force. So when it's the kind of, you know, also I have the kind of job when I go home, I don't necessarily want to tell my wife what I did that day. Yeah. So she'll watch it on TV and be like, when did you do that? Don't worry about it. I'm okay.
But I would imagine even if it's protecting the junk because the cup, this the reverberations of the impact would really injure you.
Yeah,
I mean, you could get – and I always think about this. You bring up baseball. Every game, a catcher and or an umpire gets hit in the face with a face mask with a ball too. And I always think that has to rattle your brain even if though you got some protection on your face.
Yeah, what's pretty amazing is even with sort of the cup that I was wearing – I mean, just the outer rim of it is what presses into the body. So the design, it literally is designed with, you know, plastics designed by NASA and the ergonomical design of where, you know, sort of the way that everything sits in the cup properly. It still presses against your flesh incredibly hard. And very rarely does a catcher or a player take a ball like that directly to the nuts. It's always bouncing or skipping and... You know, the amount of force that's being reduced by just bouncing off the ground is tremendous. I mean, it reduces it by 50% just if it hits the ground. You know, right. So when it hits you square in the cup like that, it's a huge
amount of
force.
Does it knock you over?
It certainly wakes you up.
But we have seen in the history of baseball, players and fans who have been killed by getting hit by balls. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of force behind a moving baseball.
Yeah, I mean, the baseballs are really dangerous. What's even more dangerous, to be honest with you, are broken bats. I mean, a broken bat flying into the crowd is really dangerous. A base, you know, people, unfortunately, in every sport, you know, when you go to a sporting event or play a sport, there's obviously inherent risks and dangers in it. Baseball, the physics of baseball are pretty astounding, you know, in terms of, you know, if you're taking, like, for example, a comebacker with a pitcher's throwing it at 90 miles an hour. It takes about 0.3 seconds to get to home plate. You know, you have about 0.15 seconds to make up your mind whether or not you're going to swing. So these guys are superhuman.
Right.
Now think about if the ball is coming back at the pitcher. When a batter hits it, it's going 120, 130 miles an hour. The pitcher is now not 60 feet. He's 50 feet. He's now not in a position to catch the ball. I mean, pitchers getting hit with balls, in, you know, directly in the face or in the body, that's where the danger really lies. And that's why aluminum bats are outlawed. It's not so much for home runs that they want to keep, because believe me, Major League Baseball wants the ball to fly out of the park. It's that you have to protect the pitcher with the ball coming off the bat.
Interesting. We're talking to John Brankus, the host and crash test dummy, as he calls it, of sports science shows regularly on ESPN. What's your background, John? Are you a science geek or a sports geek or both?
Well, my business partner, Mickey Stern, and I own a production company called Base Productions. And we, you know, make TV shows that, you know, are often high adrenaline, testosterone driven shows. And sports science came off of another show that we do called Fight Science. It's actually in its fourth cycle on National Geographic. And sports science, you know, really came about our passion and love for sports. And, you know, I'm 5'8", 160, and, you know, sort of the guy that loves sports and I love to play sports, but I'm never going to be a professional athlete. And you always want to ask those questions. You know, how do these guys do what they do? How do the most amazing men and women on the planet achieve such an incredible athletic prowess? I mean, how do they do what they do? And that's really what it stems from, is that we're just really curious TV producers that want to do incredible shows.
Tell me what you learned by getting involved in your own MMA fight. Tell me about that episode.
By getting choked out by Fedor and Gina Carano.
How was that?
we wanted to test, you know, we had Fedor Emelianenko on the show, right? Baddest man on the planet. And so we wanted to test how much force can he apply in, you know, in a rear naked choke. So obviously, you know, we get our crash test dummy, we line it up, and we say, you know, who could kill you faster, Fedor or a python? So we, like, line him up, have him, you know, have him do everything, choke as hard as he possibly can. Then the question is, all right, well, clearly the guy could kill you. So the question is, how little force does it take to actually choke somebody out? So we line me up, and we say, all right, we censor up my neck and censor up and say, okay, someone needs to get choked out. He's going to choke me out. I've never been choked out ever. So I'm freaking out of my mind. I'm like, what's going to happen?
Because you're thinking about losing consciousness and everything else, right?
Exactly. I'm like, how am I going to know? Like, is there an alarm that goes off in your brain that tells you, okay, now you're going to pass out? So I'm freaking out. So the Fedor experience was very, very, it was very nerve-wracking for me because I've never been in a fight. I don't do MMA. I don't know anything about it. And so Fedor choking me out was scary. Now Gina Carano comes along. And we're going to test out Gina Carano, Maxim cover girl.
Yeah. You
know, she's an amazing fighter. I'm like, all right, I'd be willing to get choked out again because getting choked out by Gina is a much more pleasant experience.
Yeah.
Smells better, right. Feels better. You know, that was like, hey, we can do multiple takes of this.
So right. What was it like to get choked out?
It is, you know, to be honest with you, and especially in the way that we did it, I completely did not know that I passed out, especially with Gina. You have no idea that you passed out. And
wow.
In the show, you literally see me, my eyes just, you know, they're like saucers and just looking away. And then I literally turned to her. I was like, well, what happened? It does not feel like anything happened.
Isn't
it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to pass out. You just black out.
Now, can I ask you a question, Mr. Yeah. Brankus? I'm sorry to interrupt. You said that it's your production company and it's your show. Don't you have a group of people that you can pay to get choked out and like get hit in the nuts with 90-mile-an-hour fastballs?
And miss out on all the fun?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I became sort of the human crash test dummy, honestly, because we have to be able to get in and get out and get exactly what we need and have somebody who's incredibly average in size. And, you know, I became sort of the perfect candidate, and it's really just worked well for the show. So, you know,
it is the science of choking out, losing oxygen to the brain. Is that what does it?
It is. Yeah. You're basically cutting off blood on the carotid artery, and your brain is depleted of oxygen. And as a defense mechanism, it just shuts down your system. So going limp, ideally, is the body's way of trying to get out of whatever it's in. Because if you're limp, you're a heavier object.
Right.
You can actually, you know, if you have somebody choking you and you just all of a sudden go limp, it's a defense mechanism. So yeah, you're just being denied oxygen to your brain, and it is definitely a wild experience for sure.
That sounds like a fun day's work right there, John. Well done. Yeah. All right, we need to take a moment and come back with more with John Brankus, our guest in studio, ESPN Sports Science. By the way, if you're waiting to find out when it's on, I can't tell you that because it's on whenever you damn well feel like it, right? I mean, that's the deal with sports science.
It is on a lot. I mean, now
it's a stealth show, though. You got to look for it.
Exactly. I mean, on ESPN, it's now being incorporated into all their biggest programs, so you'll see it on, you know, Sports Center or their Daytona 500 coverage or whatever. You know, it's incorporated into all the biggest events on. ESPN.
And how many episodes in are you? There's quite a library of sports shows,
done,
right?
Yeah, it originated on Fox Sports, and, you know, we did 26 episodes there. You know, it was 26 episodes, won 3 Emmys, did, you know, it runs all the time on Fox Sports, and now it's moved over to ESPN, and it runs, you know, you'll see, you know, segments that, you know, we'll be doing many, many segments. I mean, I can't even give you a number. It'll run all the time.
Fascinating. All right, we'll come back and talk to John about what he's done with football lately. You got a fascinating soccer one, too, which I can't imagine. I can't imagine watching a soccer game going, huh, that guy just got hit in the head with a ball. I wonder what that's like. I want to go try that, but we'll find out what it's all about right after this with John Brankus, our guest on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Our guest in studio is John Brankus. He is the host and human crash test dummy for a show called Sports Science on ESPN. It is fascinating. We've had one of the best off-air conversations we've had with a guest in a long time. You know, it's funny, John. Oftentimes on this program, we have debated whether football players or hockey players are the toughest athletes. But the impression I get from your show is that neither of those would win.
I mean, all, you know, guys at the who are elite athletes, I mean, all those guys at the level, whether it's MMA or hockey or football, I mean, they're all really tough. I mean, rugby players are insane. You know, they're putting their faces and, you know, into harm's way constantly without the protection of helmet. I mean, guys and girls, you know, at the highest level of sports are incredibly tough.
They are. They're absolutely crazy. And you were also saying during the record there that there are at least some who believe that football helmets are doing more harm than good.
Well, I mean, in terms of the evolution of the game, you know, the guys are so much bigger and faster than really the sport ever anticipated that, you know, the helmet is there to protect the player, but often, you know, the concussions that result from these massive collisions, I mean, they're literally, it is like getting, if you're going over the middle and you get hit by a linebacker, it is like getting in a 35-mile-an-hour car crash. I mean, it happens every single play of football. And when you're looking at guys now that are retired and sort of the effects on their brains and, you know, how it's evolved, it's the helmets contribute to the trauma more than they actually reduce it. You know, John Madden once said, you know, if you want to see how tough guys are, take their helmets off and we'll see, you know, because no one's going to go head to head, you know, in the middle of a football field. You're not going to lead with your head or hit somebody with your head. So it's a dilemma. The league has a big dilemma on their hands because you can't take the helmets off. And you have to do extensive studies on how do you really reduce the impact of forces on the football field.
What's the damage done to a professional football player by the end of his career? Are most of them damaged for life, or do they recover pretty nicely after they stop playing?
Well, I mean, obviously it depends on the position you're playing, but by and large, I mean, the knees are the biggest problem. I mean, it's, you know, knee injuries in football are just massive. I mean, guys that have, you know, multiple knee injuries is definitely a concern. Also, lower back pain and just head trauma. Mm. You know, in general, those are the main injuries. You know, and the athletes that we deal with who are literally the best of the best and, you know, really on top of their game, you know, they are constantly staying in physical shape and taking care of themselves as best they possibly can. So it's, you know, they really depend on making sure that they heal, and the effects after you've played a game like football for so long, you know, there certainly are effects. It just depends on how much you were hit.
Is it the worst in terms of games, in terms of, I mean, effects overall for the rest of your life?
I think football for sure has the greatest effects, even more so than rugby. Rugby is a crazy sport. I mean, those guys truly are insane. But in terms of, you know, the lasting effects of it, in rugby, you're not getting hit nearly as much. You're not getting the amount of impact that you have. The one single impact is just as big in rugby as is in football, but in football, you're getting hit a lot more.
Gotcha.
Often.
A lot more, yeah. John Brankus is talking on the Kevin Bean Show right now. He is the host of Sports Science, which airs all over the place on ESPN. I mentioned a few minutes ago that you did an episode where you got hit in the head with a soccer ball, kicked by a professional soccer player.
Right.
Now, how do you go about protecting yourself from, you know, becoming brain dead at the end of that taping?
Yeah, so we had Edson Buttle on the show. We're
He's
lining
with the
up.
Galaxy, right?
Exactly. He plays for the Galaxy, yeah. And we line him up, and we say, okay, we're going to hit the ball, and I'm going to be a one-man wall. Like, when you watch the show and you see the clip, I had no idea where the ball was going to hit me. I'm covering my face. I'm covering my junk. I'm like, I don't want to get hit anywhere. I mean, the ball hits me in the head in the only place it possibly could have hit me, completely unplanned. It's just, you know, sometimes God throws you softballs and said, this will make great TV. I mean, it just was completely unplanned.
And how'd that feel for you, John?
It was, honestly, it was like one of those hits where if you ever get hit really hard, you almost don't even feel it because it's so hard and it just stuns you so badly. Mm-hmm. I was just seeing stars. It literally knocked me completely over. I jump up in the air, it hits me in the head, I get knocked completely over, and I'm just looking up, what happened? And so we watched the high speed footage. I had no idea, and the feeling of it felt like my ear got just sheared off my head.
Wow.
How receptive are the athletes to stuff like this? I mean, it might be weird for you to ask an MMA fighter to come in and punch people or a soccer player to come in and just blast a soccer ball right at you from 10 feet away.
What we found is people who are the best at what they do, when you challenge them in any way, they're never going to back down from a challenge. For example, Chris Jenkins, he's 6'6", 360, you know, one of the best defensive players in the NFL. And I said, look, I want to show everybody what it's like for the average person to go up against you. So I line up toe-to-toe with him off the line and say, let's see what happens when a guy, you know, the guy at home who's sitting on the couch yelling at you going, why can't you block that guy? Like, I'll show you what happens. And he launches me 9 feet into the air.
Oh, my God.
9 feet. And literally, when we're saying, I mean, there was no rehearsal. There was no nothing. We just said, look, you're just going to hit me. You should see the look in his eyes. He's like, all right, let's go. You think you want to stand there? You know, I'll show you what it's like. And, you know, what was interesting is we actually had put a crash pad behind me, probably about 5 yards behind, because we're like, oh, he's going to hit me and he's going to push me back. I'm going to fall and that's going to be it. He launches me 9 feet up in the air and I land on the ground and completely miss the pad. Because as we learned, as we learn, off the line, low man wins. So it's not, they're not pushing you back. They're trying to lift you up, because what they're doing is making you lighter so you have less force to move forward. So it's man wins. It's pretty amazing.
How about that? All right. Before we go, John, I'm sure you get asked these two questions all the time, but I know our listeners out there want to know. The worst injury you ever had filming the show. There has to have been some that did not go the way you planned.
Yeah, we did it. We did a segment with Vernon Davis where we attached a water ski harness to his chest, and I was holding on to a water ski tow rope. And we were saying, well, is it possible to hold back an NFL player as they burst off the line? I don't know why we thought that, you know, maybe it's possible to hold him back. So obviously I'm holding on to the ski rope. He blasts off the line. I literally fly 5 feet up, crash down on the turf, and shear off all the skin on my arms. I'm just getting dragged behind him as he's just running. It was pretty bad. And recently for the ESPN show, we just did a segment with Matt Willig. He's 6'8", 315, played in the league for 14 years, won a Super Bowl. I was playing the part of the ref. So I was literally standing just like, okay, I'm going to be a ref who gets blindsided. And in that one, I'm seeing Matt actually is a friend of mine. And I said, all right, Matt, we need to like rehearse this one because I want to just see where I'm going to fall for camera. And literally in rehearsal, he just pushes me so hard and my head just goes from being straight up to straight down on the turf. And I thought I was like, oh, my God, my brain just rattled in my head. It was pretty rough.
What are you doing, dude? What are you doing?
Yeah. We're making great TV.
And
the second question you must get asked all the time is, why not just go pro and be in the Jackass movies? I mean, seriously, you're wasting your time on cable. You could be on the big screen, dude.
Well, those guys, well, they're, you know, sports science is going to have, you know, lots of other, you know, there's a book coming out and there are lots of big plans to do, you know, lots of other media products with, you know, besides TV. So there will be, you know, it'd be great. And if, you know, if everybody wants to follow along with sports science, you can, on Twitter, just go to @sport_science, and you'll get tons of updates every day on sports science.
Great. Well, you're putting on a great show. I'm so glad there's somebody out there willing to be the human crash test dummy, because America needs it, and it's a terrific show, John. So thanks a lot for coming. We appreciate it. Sports
so
Science is the program. It's on ESPN. Our guest has been John Brinkus. We'll return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations to Ashley Peterman. She is a qualifier for World Tour Destination number 4, which is Phoenix in, what do you want to say? You want to say Sydney, Australia? Sure, why not? Your chance to qualify coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 8:45. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa, our favorite dictator back in the news, the dear leader, Kim Jong-il from North Korea. He had a big birthday party yesterday, and of course, you know how Kim Jong-il is. He loves Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
He pretty much closed down the whole country, had a big parade with flowers and statues to him, and he just loves him.
He does.
He loves him. And he has been, you know, very mysterious and very sick for a long time now. There are rumors he had a stroke a couple of years ago. And, you know, people don't really know how he's doing. They don't have the most open government in the world there. So we thought, let's find out how the dear leader is feeling at this advanced age and see how the party went. Kim Jong-il joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hey, Ramdai. How you go?
Well, we go fine. Happy birthday to you, my friend.
Yeah. Happy birthday to me, dear leader, fearlessly brilliant commander, Kim Jong-il.
I understand. That is you. Wow. Sounds like the party is still going on. Did you have a good time yesterday?
We still having good time. My party's last all week.
Okay. Now, I didn't hear, how old are you this time around?
I'm 68 years old.
68. And how do you feel?
I feel amazing. This morning I swam in the harbor off of North Korea, and I pulled 68 tugboats behind me in my teeth.
I don't think that that's what you did. I think you're thinking of Jack LaLanne.
Oh, that's right. I had 68 alphabets in a bowl.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But that's still good.
Now, you don't make very many personal appearances, and you look kind of shaky when you do. Did you have a stroke?
No, I have been having a good time at my party. I love the jumpy house. I get in, I jump in the jumpy house. It's so much fun. Then they bat pinata for me in shape of nuclear missile.
Okay.
And I beat that with a stick and open up and all delicious candy come out.
Wow. Well,
then
you
I
do
play pin the tail on a political prisoner. And by political prisoner, of course, I mean actual political prisoners.
Oh, you're actually pinning a tail on a human.
Well, and by pin on the tail, I mean shoot in the head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not a party. That doesn't sound like a party at all.
Yeah, it did now, put a little bit of chill in the room.
The impression that I got from seeing some of the news coverage of your party is that it was a mandatory party. I mean, people were pretty much forced to attend and sing to you.
Well, they were forced to attend, but who would want to miss this party? It's the party of the year. Everyone love me and love a good time party.
Yeah, the impression I get is everyone is waiting for you to die, so hopefully a reformist can come in and change North Korea.
No way. Everybody love me. I am their dear leader.
Uh-huh.
And everybody wanted to come to party when they knew that Young MC was going to be the entertainment.
You had Young MC? You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got a member of our staff who believes that curling is a sport and should be in the Olympics. We'll discuss coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Rob's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Kevin Eubanks and John Melendez, known as the band leader and announcer for The Tonight Show, are quitting the show. Like rats leaving a sinking ship, they're starting to go.
Really?
Yes. They will not be there when Jay Leno takes over for The Tonight Show on March 1st. Kevin has been with the show since 1992 and the band leader since 95.
Wow.
Hollywood Reporter says that Kevin is currently negotiating an exit date with NBC and will leave the show within months. John Melendez, who formerly worked with Howard Stern, of course, as Stuttering John, is expected to continue as a writer for Leno, but will not be on the air. Well, as long as you can keep writing that hilarious comedy that Jay keeps up with, that should be very satisfying.
Yeah, he'll still have the stink of it on him as long as he's still working there. Just because he's not on camera doesn't excuse him.
Speaking of rats, John Edward in the news again. His mistress, Riley Hunter, apparently had an affair of her own, according to Star Magazine. Of course, Riley Hunter is the mother of his daughter as well, John Edward's daughter, Frances, and he does have a soon-to-be ex-wife who is diagnosed with terminal cancer. John Edward's a good guy all around.
Yeah.
And apparently this Riley Hunter, also a sweetheart. Star Magazine says she was dating Jeff Goldblum at the same time she was dating John Edward.
Really?
I even thought that the baby could have been his.
Oh, wow.
Rad.
Jeff Goldblum. Odd, odd mix. Speaking of babies, Megan Fox wants you to stop thinking of her as a sex symbol.
Nope.
Stop thinking of her. Start thinking of her, rather, as a mother-to-be.
What?
No.
What?
Well, she doesn't have any babies on the way yet.
Oh.
But she says she's very naturally maternal and thinks she could provide an amazing environment for little ones.
No.
I know she could provide an amazing environment to have a little one.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm. You know what that little environment is? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Her vagina.
Also, she says the rumors about her not being a girl's girl are absolutely true. She says she's not very frilly. She's more of a tomboy.
Yeah.
And she doesn't trust women in general, she says.
I bet you she's accustomed to women hating her.
Maybe that's why she doesn't trust
her whole life.
They've always been so mean to her.
Yep.
Mean girls like Lisa talking about her thumbs.
It's weird how we don't like women who go, I have a 22-inch waist. I don't know why people are talking about me. I don't know why they say I'm a sex symbol.
Then you should get a 22-inch waist.
Yeah, she has a 22-inch waist, though.
You would
never stop talking about it if you did.
You know my point.
What is your point?
Ralph.
No, well, I'm waiting to hear what your point is.
My point is that when you look like that and then you protest how you don't think you're pretty, but then you throw out that you have a 22-inch waist, I hate you.
So you wouldn't hate her otherwise. If she didn't say that stuff, you wouldn't hate her.
Exactly. Oh,
okay.
Can I tell you what my point is,
Lisa? What if she was a speedwalker?
Oh, Lisa.
What if Megan Fox was a speedwalker with a 22-inch waist? Would you like her then?
Can you hear us in the basement, Lisa?
Lisa's in the basement.
Lisa deserves to be the basement.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, very talented actor, most recently seen in 500 Days of Summer. He is 29 years old, as is Paris Hilton, star for, I don't know why, but she's a celebrity. Denise Richards, ditto, she's 39 years old. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is 38. Tim Mahoney of 311 is 40 years old. Michael Jordan, NBA legend, 47, as is Larry the Cable Guy, comedian. He's 47. Lou Diamond Phillips is 48. And Rene Russo celebrates her 56th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Maybe I'm a 14-year-old boy, but I am ecstatic that Blink-182 is back together, and I can't wait for new music later in 2010. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KRQ at 912. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Winter Olympics in full effect. Record ratings. People tuning in for everything, believe it or not, including a sport called curling.
It's called curling. Players slide the heavy stones toward the circle or house as teammates control the direction and speed of the stone by sweeping in front of it with a special broom.
Now, it's been 4 years since we've had this conversation, since the last time curling was thrust into our living rooms in the Winter Olympics. And I came across it yesterday while I was watching. And I am telling you, I don't say this as a joke. I'm not trying to be some wacky stand-up comedian. Hey, how about that curling? I'm telling you that I honestly don't understand why it's considered a sport or how it's in the Olympics. It just doesn't look hard to do.
It's baffling. It's completely baffling.
And it's not. I'm the only one in this room who has curled.
Yeah.
And it's not hard. It is a ridiculous sport, and there's no need for it to be in the Winter Olympics.
Okay, but let's compare it to other sports for a second, because there are lots of things that amateurs can do. You could ski. You can golf. You can run. You just can't do it at the level of the Olympians. Right. Is it the same deal with curling? Could I go out there and curl and just for fun, but it's a totally different game when you start talking about people who do it at this level?
Well, Bean can.
Yeah, yeah, well, you're excluded. But let's use me as an
Someone
example.
Someone who's athletic.
And you are exactly right. Yeah, I can go golf right now, but I'd suck.
Yeah,
I
mean, can't golf like they do.
You take a sand wedge right now, go throw a ball in the sand and try to get it onto a green, let alone near the cup. It's very, very difficult.
Right.
But curling, I think, honestly, if you gave me a couple weeks training, I'm ready to go.
Well, that US doesn't
team.
Seem good.
It's not hard at all. It's most because essentially they put you out on the ice with this rug so that you don't slip. You know, you can wear regular shoes. And then you push with this big, heavy, kind of almost broom-like object. You push this big submarine-looking deal towards a target.
Yeah.
About 20 yards away from you. And once
it's exactly shuffleboard. It's just on ice, yeah. Right? It's just the same game.
Very similar. And once you gauge how much play you have on that ice, it's pretty easy. And then, you know, you have your partner down at the other end sweeping or not sweeping in front of the stone that you push to make it go faster or slower. And it's essentially really slow tag team shuffleboard on ice. It is not hard, and it's dumb.
I'd like to hear from anyone who disagrees, who anyone thinks that there is a level of athleticism and skill at the level that we're witnessing on the Olympics about curling. I want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Watching the coverage yesterday, I heard them say that it's been a sport since at least the 1500s, believe it or not, started in Scotland. So it's survived 500 years already. And that one of the Olympic athletes competing this year on the Canadian team as an alternate is 5.5 months pregnant. Now, right there, doesn't that say if it's the kind of sport that you can do at an Olympic level at 5.5 months pregnant, that it's not sufficient to be a sport?
It would seem like. What are we missing?
That's a great question. We must be missing something, right?
I think because, like being mentioned, it goes back so far.
But they're not afraid to cancel other sports.
I know. It's strange. But there must
Olympics
be something
takes
traditional.
Other sports out of the games. They canceled baseball, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And I think that clearly is a sport lots of people can play and enjoy.
They like to pick sports and hold on to sports that are popular in a large part of the world. And a lot of the majority of the IOC is Europeans.
Uh-huh.
So maybe it's just something that we as Americans are missing, and culturally we don't dig it, but, you know, Europeans seem to have a thing for it. But
because it's big in countries that are big in the Winter Olympics, because Norway, Sweden, Canada, those countries like curling, you think that it's a nod to them and their cultures.
Probably, yeah.
All right.
And that's only speculation.
Marge, it's perfect for both of us. It's got bowling for me and sweeping for you.
See, it's something for everybody. Let's take a couple calls. We don't have much time on this, but let's talk to David real quick, who is a defender of curling, if you can believe it. And he's on line one calling the Kevin and Bean Show. David, we're forced to see curling because the Olympics are back on the TV, but I still don't get it. What's the deal, dude?
I wait 4 years to see this every time. I get off of work. I went to my mom's house because she has DVR. And I watched the U.S. versus Germany last night. I could not wait to get off of work to watch it. Just
Why?
Like today. It is awesome. Have you ever played shuffleboard before, too? Just the thrill of throwing it down and gliding it. Be like, dude, you got to knock the opponent's puck off and everything. There's so much more that goes into it. Psycho Mike doesn't even know what he's talking about.
You don't even know.
Explain to me.
You don't even know.
Explain to me where I'm wrong.
Conditioning these guys have to do all that brushing? Do you see those guys brush?
Yeah. He's being
when
funny.
When they slide that puck down and all that brushing they have to do to go through that for like an hour and a half.
All right, you're clowning on us.
He is.
David, you're clowning on us. All right, we want a real curling. No, thank you very much, Lugo. We want a real curling defender who really does think it deserves to be an Olympic sport. That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Hey, put Magoo on line 3 on hold for me. I definitely want to talk to Magoo. By the way, Simpsons taking their jabs at the curling over the weekend.
I just have one question. Is curling a real thing?
That's an outstanding question, Bart. Thank you for that. All right. Why won't they give us Magoo? We're begging for it here, and they won't. All right. Let's talk to Jeff then on line 2, calling the Kevin DeBeat Show. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for dialing in. What's up?
Hey, curling is just the idea that you have to know how to brush the ice to get the stone moving.
Okay. Does that make it
a skill?
An Olympic skill?
Okay, you know what? If you count strapping two boards on your feet and going down a hill of sport, why not? Why not? Why not stone and brooms on ice?
But here's the thing.
The problem is, guys, that you live in an area where ice is not formed naturally. So you don't understand when a sport.
Wait, Jeff, you're right. We don't live in a place where a lot of winter sports are played. But we all appreciate skiing, hockey, snowboarding, and a myriad of other sports that are, based in snow. We just find this one ridiculous.
I'm telling you that there's not enough athleticism in curling to make it a sport, just like darts isn't in the Olympics. Look, it's difficult to do. I'm not as good a dart player as the best dart player in the world, but it's not athletic. It's not a sport. That's my problem.
It's too athletic. Just in the movement of the arms like that, doing that all day for an hour straight. I mean, come on. That's how weird on your arms.
Are you
all right.
Listen, have you ever met any Mexicans that sweep and broom for 8 hours straight? And you want to get all upset about some Norwegian who could do it for a half hour?
But that's what they do. Granted, I'm not from around here, so I understand you guys don't have a lot of winter sports.
Okay,
I mean, that's
been asked and answered already. Obviously, we're not complaining about hockey and skiing and snowboarding and everything else. All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. I'm just saying. They brought curling back into the Olympics. My understanding is that curling was in the Olympics until the 20s, then they took it out. So then for like 7 blissful decades, there was no curling in the Olympics the way God intended. And then some bonehead brought it back in the 90s. Who out there made the decision? Oh, we got to get this thing back on the world stage. What's the deal? Having said that, hope the USA wins. USA! 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 Let me tell you a little something about the new and improved krock.com. If you have not been there lately, you are missing out. You can go to the front page today and find details on, who's going to be playing Lollapalooza 2010, for instance. What's going on with the new Franz Ferdinand album? And for some reason, I don't know what's going on today, some pictures of the fattest people you've ever seen in your life are all on the front page of krock.com. You ought to check it out. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:41. And it looks like Ralph Garman has just joined us in studio for yet another look and a final look for today of the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah, we're talking about the internet there. Good news coming out of Florida today about that Facebook situation. I don't know if you heard or not, but there was a student who had set up a Facebook page to complain about her teacher. And so the teacher sued her.
Wow.
Said you couldn't do that. Said you were cyberbullying her. And the principal suspended her from the school. So the high school senior sued the school and claimed that the principal was violating her free speech rights, and the court upheld that. Said the student who set up the page had every right to do so.
Who has money to do all these lawsuits anyway?
Ms. Phelps is the worst teacher I ever had, is the name of the page.
Wow. That absolutely sounds like it is protected free speech. Doesn't sound like she's not an employee of that company that's telling her she can't talk out of school and stuff like that. I think I agree with the Supreme Court on that one.
I have to wait and see what she looks like. She's a hot high school senior.
Yeah,
then I'm on board.
Chances.
She plays for the field hockey team.
Then maybe not so much.
Chances are, if the teacher's mean to her, she's probably ugly.
Or hot, or she's jealous. Like
that's
Lisa
a good point.
Is. Like Lisa's
yeah,
about hot.
Lisa
chicks.
Hates
hot
Megan
chicks,
Fox.
You know,
she does hate attractive women. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ralph, have you seen how hot some of the athletes are at these Winter Games this year?
I have not watched minute one of the Olympics.
You're missing out, dude.
No, I'm not. It's still the Olympics, right?
You are missing out
have
on some of the hottest.
Have they changed it since 4 years ago, or is it still the Olympics?
Well, no. I mean, they're still athletes, but you can't believe how hot some of the chicks are on the Swedish teams and the Norwegian teams, even the Canadian teams.
Do the Eagles play in the Olympics this year?
I don't think so.
Okay, then Ralph has a watch.
right.
Is there any football being played? No.
Not so much.
And the hockey is like being preempted for figure skating and stuff. The only thing I do care about, and I got to get the highlights on CSNBC or something.
It's true.
BS. Yeah.
BS. A lot of complaints. NBC, that's what I say.
A lot of complaints about the NBC's coverage, that's for sure.
Headliners have been announced for this summer's Sasquatch Music Festival. Bean, are you going to be at the Sasquatch Music Festival this year? Every year they ask Bean to come and play Sasquatch.
It's a great music festival in a beautiful venue, but I don't think I'll be there.
It's right there at your house.
I know.
They literally do it in your backyard.
I know, and it gets bigger every year. I know. It is tempting.
What would they have to do to make it more convenient for you other than put it in your home, in your town where you live?
I would like it on my television. I would watch every minute of it if I could sit in my living room with a cold beverage and enjoy it. I don't like going out where the people are and the noise and the sun. You know how I am, Ralph.
Here's the lineup.
I'm going underground.
Happens Memorial Day weekend. My Morning Jacket, Vampire Weekend, MGMT, Massive Attack have just been added.
Nice.
Yeah.
To the lineup. And the newly reunited Pavement are all on the bill, along with a dozen or so other bands, so you may want to check out and see whether it's worth the trip or not. And I'm sure Bean would let you crash on his lawn. You could probably just camp there somewhere on his compound. He'd probably just let you put up a tent and just hang out.
Big fan of that.
Just email him, bean@krock.com.
His backyard's like Woodstock.
Let you do that.
People camping out.
Taryn Manning is an actress who hasn't been working all that much lately. She was in Hustle and Flow. She's done a bunch of stuff. Had a music career for a while. She's just been cast as Steve McGarrett's younger sister in the upcoming Hawaii Five-0 series for CBS. Yeah! Alex O'Loughlin's playing Steve McGarrett, and Daniel Day-Kim of Lost is playing Detective Chin-Ho Kelly.
Yay!
So Daniel Day-Kim will get to speak good English and everything for a change. Must be different
yeah.
for him.
Usually he must talk like this. Hurley, where is Van?
He's got to do that for an hour. That can't be fun for anybody.
I don't remember there being a sister of the original Steve McGarrett on Hawaii Five-0. Was there one? Am I just forgetting that?
No, I think the original was just a big sausage fest, so they had to try to add some estrogen to the event and try to make it more interesting. And you know that show Millionaire Matchmaker on Bravo? Yeah. This is going to be the worst episode ever. The newest episode of The Millionaire Matchmaker will try to find one lucky lady and give her a chance for love with Jason Davis. I don't know if you know who Jason Davis is.
But Gummy Bear?
Gummy Bear Davis, the grandson of late billionaire Marvin Davis.
Oh, that guy's disgusting.
Yes.
There are a couple bears in the Davis family. There's Greasy Bear.
Right.
Who is, what's his name?
Brandon Davis.
Fire he crotch. Was the one who was dating Lindsay Lohan
yeah.
and then That's turned right. on her famously and called her a fire crotch to the paparazzo. And then Jason, Gummy Bear Davis, is the sloppy, fat, disgusting one you often see slathered with sort of different sun unguents as he lays by some various pool somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's just disgusting. And apparently he is looking for a romance with the Millionaire Matchmaker.
And the only reason anyone ever hangs out with him is because he's incredibly rich, right?
Yeah, he's got some of Granddad's millions. Of course, Marvin Davis was a billionaire. But here's the thing. New York Post says that landlords are currently trying to evict him now from his L.A. apartment because he's not paid their $3,600 per month rent. So I don't know what his money situation is. Maybe that's why he's looking for a wife, because he needs someone to pay his rent.
Somewhere to crash.
He's repugnant.
He is really foul on every level. I don't know why anyone would ever want to be with him. Good luck, Matt, Millionaire Matchmaker.
Jeez. Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear.
And she's a nightmare, too, the broad who runs that thing.
She's plastic surgery disaster.
She's Agatha Christie.
Hey, celebrity birthdays. Joseph Gordon-Levitt from 500 Days of Summer is 29 years old today. Paris Hilton celebrates her 29th birthday. Jerry O'Connell, very talented actor, soon-to-be lawyer and husband to Rebecca Romijn, is 36. Billy Joe Armstrong of Green Day is 38. Tim Mahoney of 311 is 40. Larry the Cable Guy is 47, as is Michael Jordan. Lou Diamond Phillips is 48. And Renee Russo celebrates her 56th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and I hope everyone will plan on joining us for an all-new Kevin and Bean show for tomorrow on a Thursday, the return of R. Kelly. You won't believe what he's been up to. I'm sure it's not as good as Trapped in the Drive-Thru, but I'm willing to give it a listen. That's coming up. Also, you told us about the American Psycho musical that was coming to Broadway soon. Well,
yes.
apparently tomorrow, highlights from the American Psycho musical. Apparently it is in production.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to that. We've got the story of Angus, the masturbating parrot, on tomorrow's show. I'm looking forward to that as well. And the beautiful Kat Von D is going to be joining us back in studio. You know how much we love her. And, of course, she, of course, the star of L.A. Inc., and she'll be in talking about all things tattoo. What? Nobody say it. That's all tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Kat is up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including The Weezer, also Phoenix, Green Day, Foo Fighters, Vampire Weekend's latest, and more right after this on K-Rock.